We're continuing our series here. You can use this. We're continuing our series through Colossians. So if you're not reading anything at the moment, maybe get into Colossians and you can share the journey with us. That'd be great.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Good to be sharing with you this morning with our extended family. I just want to say to you this morning, I was... just generally when I preach, I tend to take notes and put them in my diary, and then at the end of the week, I kind of put them together on my laptop, and then this morning, I realized it's not charged, so please forgive me as I have my sermon now on my mobile phone. It's not ideal, but that's how it is in my brain and in my house, so forgive me. Just before I start, I just wanted to say thank you as well to Steve and Rochelle for, sharing your story. I certainly think that, you know, the testimony of God in the midst of our own struggle and suffering is an amazing story of hope. You know, sometimes I think our stories of victory are incredibly encouraging. I also would testify to the fact that our stories of suffering and the testimony of how Jesus walks alongside us is an incredible story of hope, and it's just as important for people who are in the midst of their own illness or in their own struggle, trying to make sense of where God is in the midst of it. And of course, this morning we hear that, you know, again, I love the thought of the theme this morning that the Holy Spirit's already been impressing on our hearts is that God is King. And I think if anything today around this passage of Scripture that I'm going to share with you on is that's actually the message. He's King. We have a King that we can be confident in following. And He has the capacity to hold our humanity, our brokenness, our victories, our sorrows, our confusion, all of it. But before we start, please join me. I just want to commit this day, these next kind of 20 minutes to God, and just pray that the Holy Spirit would just be speaking to you louder than my voice or what I have to say. So let's pray. God, I just want to thank you so much for this, for your church. And the expression within this community in Sea Change, I want to thank you for every person here. I want to thank you that you are sovereign, that you are King. And Lord, I pray this morning as we just come to have a look at this passage of Scripture in Colossians, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be the one that would be speaking to us louder than any words that I've put together today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just be reminding people, above all, of your love, of your plan for humanity, and just your incredible way, Lord, that you are interested in every aspect of our lives. I thank you for the reminder, God, that in the Psalms it talks about how you know us so intricately. You know how many hairs are on our head, you know when we stand, you know when we sit, you know our thoughts. You know what's worrying us and bothering us today. You know how many tears we've cried this week or how much laughter we've engaged in. And Lord, you are above all of it, and we do need a King to follow. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful, that we can put our confidence in who you are. And so today I pray, Lord God, that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we would know your immeasurable greatness of your love towards us, that we would put our confidence in you, in the parts of our lives where we feel vulnerable or scared or we have unanswered questions or confusion. I pray that the peace of Christ would just rest over us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help me to share in a way, Lord God, that makes sense. And so I surrender this word to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think we have the scripture on the screen this morning. So if you want to follow along in your phone or your Bible, is we're looking at Colossians 3, 1 to 17. So let's read it together. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, our King, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one of us has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Amen. I wanted to give you a little bit of a quick background. I hope I'm not repeating too much. I know that we're into the third chapter of Colossians. But I wanted to give you a little bit of a background around the fact that Paul actually wrote this letter to a church community that he didn't start. The church was in Colossae and was started by a co-worker of Paul's called Epaphras. I'm hopeless at these names. Epaphras started the church and was from that city. And he visited Paul in prison to update him about how well the church was doing. I kind of imagine that, in a sense, around some of their conversations, I suppose, that we have with our broader churches of Christ around the health and well-being of the church, what the challenges are, and what we were facing. And one of the things that Epaphras talked to Paul about was the culture pressures. And we know that in Colossians 2, we know that there was a pressure on the church that they were struggling with the cultural influences, both from the Greek world but also the Jewish community. And so the message that we have, we can't look at this scripture without actually going back first to the first chapter in Colossians, where he paints this amazing picture and says this about Jesus: the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All things were created through him, and he holds all things together. In Jesus, God's faithfulness dwells, and through him, God has reconciled himself, all things to himself. So why does Paul start with this in the book of Colossians? The biggest reason, in my opinion, is the fact that he started this because what the Colossians needed to know was Jesus wasn't just one of many of the gods that they were already following in Greek, their Greek culture, or in the spiritual marketplace, but that God, that Jesus, was above all, was above all of the gods that they had been interacting with as part of their spirituality, as part of their community, as part of their culture. And so, in a sense, what Paul was trying to do was to share the sovereignty of who Jesus was and challenge them with a new way of thinking and a new way of living. And so this was an incredible message because the Colossians lived in fear of these spiritual powers often. And the incredible message for this church was actually that these spirits no longer had authority over their lives, but that was in Jesus, that there was a new hope, a new freedom, a new way of living. And some of the cultural influences from the Greek world, which was mythical polytheism, was Zeus, the king of gods, Plutus, the king of money, Apollo, music, poetry, art, Aphrodite, love, desire, sex. And what he's trying to share within this scripture is that God is above all of this. He's not just one added dimension in their lives. He is sovereign. The other cultural challenge they had was with the Jewish community, where there was a pressure around the diet, the sacred days, circumcision, and observing the Torah. And in this scripture, what we're seeing again was that there was that the message was that Christ came and disarmed all of these powers, all the authority, and triumphant over them on the cross. What an incredible king that we serve. And he also went on to say, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So from Paul's perspective, they were a form of slavery under these powers themselves, that both in the Greek and in the Jewish Torah, that Christ was sovereign, that Christ was above, that Christ was superior, and that the cross of Christ is sovereign. The challenge, I think, of course, for them as a community and for us now is that I still think that understanding this new way of living, a new life in Christ, is what the title is in my scripture when I have a look at reading from Colossians 3:1-17. This new life of Christ is about the transformational power of God at work in our lives. And actually, if I think about both in my own life and my experience, both within working as a pastor for so many years in churches, but also looking globally at the church, I think the transformation of who we are in Christ is one of the most difficult journeys we all take up, or the cross we all walk with. See, because I think transformation is not necessarily easy. Surrendering to a lordship of Christ is not necessarily easy. This new life of Christ, while it brings the promises that it brings us freedom, is not necessarily easy. And I know that the challenge for us, and it's very clear around this new life of Christ, that we are called every day to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, to clothe ourselves, to put on this new way of living, to put on this new way of interacting. And yet I would say, again, both in my... I will speak from my own experience, but also the experience of working within churches and not-for-profits. Just because it's a Christian organisation or just because it's a church doesn't necessarily mean that we display these attributes. Because I think it's an on day, every day. That's why it's clothing ourselves day by day in kindness, in humility, in patience, in forgiveness, in love. Put on then. It's an action. It's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's a surrender to the Holy Spirit. It's an understanding around the role that we play in learning how to be patient and kind. And the crazy thing within this for me is that such a contrast to these Greek culture and way of living, because it was all around power. It was all around appeasing the gods in order to get. And yet it's flipped completely around. That God is calling us to bear with one another, to forgive one another, and to be bound together in perfect unity. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. We all need to apologize and we all need to forgive. And again, I think the challenge is that it's so easy for me to be kind to the people who are kind to me. I've gone through this incredible challenge I think I've shared with you, and I hope it's okay. I find it easier to share from my own experience because then I can own it. But these last kind of couple of months, it's been really challenging, not with my Kingsway role, but with my other role. And I haven't felt like being kind, let me tell you. I haven't felt like turning up with compassion. I haven't felt like forgiving when I felt like I've been done wrong. I felt like arguing. I felt like, gossiping behind this person's back. I felt like doing what's cheap and easy rather than brave and courageous. I felt like that I wanted to be justified for the actions, and I wanted to, in some way, for this particular person to be held accountable for the choices that they've made. I wanted someone to pay, if I'm really honest with you, and yet I still hope that the people that are nicest to me would still say that I'm a kind person. But I'm also a broken person, and I'm still human. I still have to deal with these ongoing emotions that I deal with, you know, daily often. What does it mean for me to turn up with a compassionate heart? What does it mean for me to be kind? What does it mean for me to be hold humility in a world that's continually encouraging me to have power over instead of power with? What does it mean for me to be meek or to be patient? And what I think is really important with all of these kind of mixed in together, all of these amazing references that Paul brings in regard to this new life in Christ, is they actually don't sit in isolation. I don't think compassion is disconnected from humility, and I don't think kindness is disconnected from patience. This isn't just about working out around moral behavior. I believe that Paul is calling the church to a radical reimagining of what it means to be human. And he's calling you and I to that as well. And it's hard work. I want to share just a quick video. It's a video from Open Doors. And I was trying to think of how can I visually show something that brings a little bit of an expression of a change that happens within communities and culture that actually highlights the struggle to move from one way of interacting and operating within a community to a whole new way of being within this world through the power of the Holy Spirit and walking with Christ. So.
I didn't know about God. In my region, there were only illegal groups and they would take you away. And I was forced to join as soon as I could carry a backpack. First, I belonged to the guerrillas, and then I went over to the paramilitaries. My role was patrolling. I was fully equipped to be a warrior, a fighter.
Like many of the youth in Colombia, Reina was recruited to the illegal armed groups who fight to gain and control territory for drug trafficking and other criminal activities. Now in her 40s, Reina has found faith in Christ and left her old way of life behind. But she can see that the violence is getting worse, and that Christians are specifically at risk.
Although we have always seen it, now we see more and more theft, murder and homicide, a tremendous amount. There is still a lot of persecution. You have to be careful when you walk because they're always watching you. Every move you make to get you out of their way. When we preach and the youth are converted, they are losing people for their groups, for their commanders. So while we are doing this work, we become an enemy to them.
As a former member of the illegal groups, Reina especially is seen as their enemy. But despite threats, even against her life, she remains bold in preaching the gospel.
From the moment I received the Lord, I said, if I serve the devil with so much love, with how much more love will I serve the one who gave me life? And if I was already brave enough to carry a gun, here I must be brave enough to serve God. If nothing was too big for me there, how much less now that God is the one who has me in his hands, that I am not alone? Many of them would say to me, you became my enemy. Reina, you are no longer my friend. Reina, we have our eyes on you. You are not worth anything anymore. You will die. But I always said that Christ who called me would defend me. And I say it to this day. And if I die, I die for the cause of Christ. And thank God, I am serving the Lord. There is nothing more worthwhile than serving God. He is the only one who deserves everything.
Praise God that Reina is bold to preach God's word despite the threats she receives. Pray especially for her ministry to other ex-militant converts in her church. Pray for Reina and her family to know God's protection in the very violent and dangerous region where they live. Pray that the illegal armed groups would not be able to harm them. Please remember the work of Open Doors Partners in Colombia, who support persecuted.
I had the privilege of actually being in Colombia, in the Andes. I'm not sure where this beautiful woman was. But I learned a lot about the transformational power of the Holy Spirit. But I also learned a lot about the cost. And that in so many communities around the world, whether it be India, whether it be Africa, whether it be in the Middle East, the choice to follow Christ, to take up the cross, and to live with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another in love, forgiving one another. And putting on love comes at an incredible cost. And I think, in my mind at least, the best way of me trying to step into the shoes of what Paul was saying is that the Colossians, whilst we don't have reference right here, when they chose to step out of that Greek mythology and the expectations of the Jewish community, there would have been huge implications. Because unlike our communities, they worked in community. And so the message that Paul was trying to bring within this context was huge. But I also think it has relevance for us too. So my question I will leave you with is, are you aware of what triggers you to be unkind, to not walk in compassion? To be impatient. To not do the hard work of forgiving. And I do want to say hard work of forgiving, because I know that often in churches we say this too quickly. Often forgiveness is a painful, long journey. Sometimes not, depending on the situation. Nevertheless, Christ calls us to walk in all of this. Why? So that we can be free to be all that he's called and created us to be. So let's pray. God, I just thank you for this incredible challenge. I love the book of Colossians. So first of all, I want to just thank you for so much wisdom, so much challenge, so much in here around, Lord, the truth of who you are. God, this talks about you being light in darkness and overcoming the principalities and powers of this world. It builds confidence around your love and your faithfulness towards us. It's a challenge for us too, God, to put off all those things, Lord, that create unrest, both in our own spirits but also with those around us, whether it be anger or malice or hatred or unforgiveness. And yet so often, Lord, we see so much of this in our world, whether we turn on the news or sometimes even in our own families. So Lord, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would open our hearts this morning and show us, Lord, the broken parts of our lives, Lord, the parts where we feel often most fearful or frightened, that we would become aware and give us the courage, Lord, to live up to the calling to walk in kindness and humility and forgiveness and love. And what a king we serve. What a gift you've given us in Jesus, that we have the power, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit to choose and to walk in and to put on the clothing of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and love every day. Help us to be bold enough and courageous enough to do that. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.